Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here. Great to have our friend David Noble with us here every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. In fact, next Thursday, I'll be doing the show from Helena in the later morning hours of the show. So very excited to tell you that our friend David Noble will be covering the early morning hours of the show, 6 to 8 a.m. next Thursday while I get set up, most likely from the Capitol in Helena. But either way, David, great to have you on the show. Sounds like you got a whole bunch of stuff to cover this morning.
Aaron, thanks so much for having me. Can't wait for next Thursday. I've got so much content this morning that if I was doing the 6 to 8 like I'm going to do next Thursday, I could probably talk the entire time. No callers, no guests, and we'd just get right through. I wanted to start out by just giving a huge shout-out to the Yellowstone County Commissioners. They actually cut spending. Aaron, it's unbelievable. You know, I come on Montana Talks all the time and just rant and rave about how can we please get spending cuts. I don't care if it's at the city level. I don't care if it's at the county level. I don't care if it's the state. I just want spending cuts. And the Yellowstone County Commission, this may be the first time in my life where I've actually seen politicians actually vote to cut. And then, of course, the mainstream, they cut funding for the Yellowstone Art Museum. First of all, I didn't even realize my taxpayer dollars were going to the Yellowstone Art Museum. I like the Yellowstone Art Museum, but we've got some bigger problems in the state, like maybe the fact that nobody can afford to live here. You've got Gen Z who are basically going into sort of like a deep, dark spiral because they're finally realizing they will never own a home. And what are we doing about it? Thankfully, the Yellowstone County Commissioners are cutting some spending. That's great news.
I saw that story, too. Yeah, it caught my eye. And, you could tell the media was trying to be like, ooh, the evil Yellowstone County Commissioners cut funding for the Yellowstone Art Museum. And I'm like, okay, big media, you've got a lot of money. You made a lot of money on advertising in the Senate race last year. Why don't you donate some money to the Yellowstone Art Museum? I thought the same thing. I was like, why does the Yellowstone Art Museum need county tax? Taxpayer funds. Don't we need county taxpayer funds for roads and basics like jails to keep the criminals off the street? And maybe a lot of people don't go to the downtown Yellowstone Art Museum that much because of a lot of the downtown crime and transient. So maybe if we dedicated that money to the jail, you'd get more visitors and more donations to the museum. It's just like, wow. I mean, nothing against the Yellowstone Art Museum, but I thought the same thing. Why were they getting taxpayer funds in the first place?
Well, that's exactly right. One of the commissioners basically said, look, if you don't have public safety, then you're not going to have any museums. And so they took that money that was going to the Yellowstone Art Museum and they put it into the police department. And you're absolutely right, Aaron. It's like, what are you going to, you're going to go downtown, walk around downtown. If we don't have public safety, it's not going to go over well. And I think the what you see in terms of the way the media is portraying this and the people that showed up, it's like, my goodness. For the first time in my entire life, we're finally going to cut a tiny little bit of spending and everybody's screaming bloody murder. It really shows why it's so difficult for these politicians to cut spending. The easy way out is just to spend. Somehow we've got to figure out a way to turn that around so that the politician's easy way out is cutting spending, not the other way.
And that's why it's so important that people like you and our listeners do speak out and speak out in support of common sense decisions, because otherwise all they hear is the negative from the media mob. Hold that thought. Back after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some hazy sunshine and some areas of smoke through the day today. High temperature readings, meanwhile, stay up around 77 from Bozeman to Billings. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies as temperatures fall off to about 43 to 45. Wednesday breezy out of the north into tonight for Billings. East Wednesday breezy in the Bozeman area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. A study suggests most doctors ignore guidelines when prescribing attention deficit hyperactivity disorder medication to preschoolers. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends preschoolers diagnosed with ADHD first get 6 months of behavioral therapy before being prescribed drugs. However, the study finds that was followed in only around 14% of U.S. cases involving children ages 3 to 5. Researchers tracking the treatment of more than 9,700 kids, more than 42% got a prescription for an ADHD medicine within a month. just 14% after the recommended 6 months of therapy. Experts say therapy helps build coping skills and habits that are in sync with how kids' brains work. However, immediate use of a stimulant medication could lead to increased side effects, including aggression or irritability. The study was published in the JAMA Network Open Medical Journal. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Taxpayers are getting mixed messages here in Montana following the legislative session. Some lawmakers claim the budget grew spending less than 2%. Other lawmakers have argued that this session, quote, blew up the budget with double-digit mega spending growth. What's the answer? Well, we're going to hear from Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute. He joins us on Thursday's Montana Talks statewide right here, 9 to 10 a.m. Plus, we'll have the phone lines open for you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is great. You know, we typically never know what we're going to talk about. David comes and joins us on the show. He's got a few things. I've got a few things to potentially talk about. And then we just kind of wing it. And then we take your phone calls, get your messages on the app and more. But the topic that David started with this morning, man, David, it totally ties in with a great email that I got from Tom Burnett in Bozeman. Tom Burnett is a former Republican legislator. And Tom Burnett, he is one of those great citizen watchdogs that dives into these local issues. Here's the email I got from Tom Burnett. Library visits down, but spending is up. Visits to public libraries in Montana were $4.7 million in 2013, $3.2 million in 2024. That's a 30% decline in terms of visits to public libraries. Libraries supply other services beyond service to patrons and physical visits, but physical visits are the most expensive part of their service. Population increased 9.6% between the 2010 census and 2020. So visits per capita declined by more than 30%. The operating cost per library visit went up 67% from 2013 to 2024. Man, David, I mean, that's just crazy when you think about those numbers. And it's kind of like, why do we keep throwing money at some of these things in the exact same way, the way we've always done it? Like, something here is not working, right?
Well, and same question. Why does anybody pay to go to college or a university and go sit in a lecture hall and listen to a lecture at the front of the class? That's also an outmoded, anachronistic way of doing things. And it's like, yeah, can we not have, you know, electronic libraries where you can, you know, check out a book online and get it on your Kindle, or check out a, you know, audio book and listen to it that way? Instead, we're spending all of this money just doing it over and over again. And you've got, you know, if you're a rich white liberal, of course you want taxpayer dollars going to the art museum and going to these other things, because hey, you're a rich white liberal, you can pay higher taxes, and you know, you're not worried about anybody else, and you like to go to the museum, and you like to go to the library every once in a while, even if it's overrun with homeless people like it is in Billings. But if you're actually a normal Montanan and you're out here struggling and you can't afford to buy a home and you can't afford to meet your basic necessities and you've got credit card debt and you're struggling, and then you look up and you see these politicians just, you know, laughing, having a good time about spending your money on museums and these other things when you're struggling just to get by day to day, it's really quite, you know, off-putting. And I just can't emphasize that enough. It's like, what do we got to do to get these politicians to understand that everything is not super great right now in the economy? And frankly, there's a Karl Rove piece up at the Wall Street Journal this morning talking about how one of the big things that the Republicans need to address going into these midterms is basically how the American people feel about their own, you know, financial situation and how they feel going into the future. And right now the polling is not super great on how people feel financially, and I think that a lot of that's the after effects of Biden policies and Democrat policies.
Oh, totally.
A lot of it's a cumulative effect, like here in Montana, where you've got decades and decades and decades of anti-housing laws and regulations that put us here in this situation.
Yeah. Well, to that point, yeah, I think what's happened is President Trump came in, stopped the bleeding, and what we really need is a turnaround in interest rates out of the Federal Reserve, which he's working to turn that around as well. But what has already been baked into the economic cake here was the 4 years of Bidenflation. And so, yeah, he stopped the bleeding, but I think there's a lot of folks out there that are hoping that there's somehow we can recover what was lost in the last 4 years. That's the really tough part. Back to this whole, you know, local spending conversation, local taxing conversation. I think the library and Billings, they do have like an e-book option for folks as well. But again, the broader point here, as Tom Burnett is pointing out, is that, okay, if visits are down 30%, why is spending on in-person libraries up so much? We're not attacking libraries here. We're just saying there's got to be room for reform. There's got to be, hey, how can we better spend this money? How can we, when I think about library books, like look at what Susan Gianforte, Governor Gianforte's wife, is doing without taxpayer funds, by the way. They are getting books in the hands of little kids all across Montana through this, I think it's called the Imagination Library with Dolly Parton. And every kid in every, they've got kids in every zip code in Montana. They're getting books shipped to them every month. And these are good, wholesome books, not some of the woke trash that the LGBTQ mafia tries to put in the kids section at libraries.
Great point. And it's like, you know what? People need to realize that if it was a perfect world and we had unlimited money, we would all love to have our local government spending millions and millions of dollars on museums and libraries and butterflies and fairy tales and rainbows and all that stuff. But guess what? We don't have unlimited money. And so, yeah, I'm with you, Aaron. I love libraries. I love museums. I'm not attacking libraries or museums. But what I am doing is looking at the reality of the situation, looking at the fact that we have out of control spending and taxes in this state and in this county too. And we have to make hard choices. That's the bottom line. We have to make some hard choices for the overall benefit of the people.
Well, and look, even if you're awash in cash, which, let's be honest, a lot of these big counties are awash in cash and they need to be giving property tax relief. Like the Republican Flathead County Commissioners just delivered, by the way. They said, hey, we're taking in a lot more money right now because of the growth. We're going to give property tax relief. That's what the Republican Flathead County Commissioners are doing. Great news on that front. All right, another quick break. More to follow with David Noble right after this.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. The waiting was the hardest part for NFL fans, but this evening the wait ends. For the first time in 208 days, an NFL game of meaning. The regular season kicks off in Philadelphia, where the Eagles will raise a championship banner at Lincoln Financial Field to honor last season's team, which beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But the Eagles 2025 team won't be part of this ceremony.
Yeah, I didn't know it was banner night. We won't be out for that.
Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni will keep his players in the locker room tonight while Eagles fans celebrate the accomplishment of last season's team. This year's roster includes 20 players who were not part of Philadelphia's Super Bowl run. The Eagles are heavily favored against the Dallas Cowboys tonight, kickoff 8:20 Eastern Time. Dallas has a new head coach with Brian Schottenheimer. Cowboys went 7-10 last season, missed the playoffs. Another NFL game tomorrow in Sao Paulo, Brazil, between the Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. Jared Max, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The Trump administration has moved to disrupt how wages are set for temporary guest farm workers, sparking both celebration and controversy. Last week, USDA announced it will end the long-running farm labor survey, which has collected farm wage data for more than a century. Farm employer groups praised the move, saying the survey inflated pay rates for H-2A guest workers and made U.S. farms less competitive. But the timing has created a regulatory clash. Just hours earlier, a federal judge in Louisiana struck down a 2023 Department of Labor rule that relied on a different data source, the Occupational Employment and Wage Statistics Report. In response, the DOL said it would return to using the Farm Labor Survey to set adverse effect wage rates. That means one agency is scrapping the survey, while the other says it will still need it to set wages for more than 350,000 H-2A workers and 22,000 farms. The National Council of Agricultural Employers applauded USDA's decision, arguing wages should be left to the market, not dictated by government surveys. But worker advocates warn the change could drive down pay, repeating battles seen in past lawsuits. For now, farmers and workers are left waiting to see how federal agencies will resolve their conflicting directions. That's all for today. I'm Lane Nordblond.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, Mike and Big Timber, stand by. Mike and Big Timber, we'll get to your call here in just a second. Real quickly, though, first here, David, I had a message come in on the Montana Talks app. This came in from Andy in Whitefish. He says, did you hear the hot mic moment with Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin talking about living to 150 years old? Did you hear about that? I heard something briefly, I think, on Laura Ingraham's program last night. Did you hear about this story, David?
I've got about 25 news articles in front of me, Aaron, and that is not one of them.
That is not one of them. That's why I love it when we get messages and phone calls, because it's right. Like, you can do all the show prep in the world, and you always hear something interesting from our listeners. I've got a Reuters article here. Hot Mike picks up Putin and Xi discussing organ transplants and immortality. Now, so yeah, basically they were discussing the possibility that humans could live to 150 years old, and they were talking about how they, you know, basically want to continue being dictators for another, yeah, I guess they're 70, so it'd be another what, you know 75 plus 80 years, right? That they would want to hold on to their power. But the point that I think Laura Ingraham or somebody was making was, you think about the evil that we see in the world right now. And look, it is no secret that what they have been doing is organ harvesting in China. They will basically steal the organs of whether it's their Muslim population or others or political dissidents. And so I think it was Laura Ingraham who's kind of exposing just the shocking evil that this hot mic moment kind of symbolizes, really.
Yeah, that it is super evil, and we do know that China and Russia do that. But my comment is, 150 years old, that's nothing. Haven't Putin and Xi read the Bible lately? In Genesis, you know, in the days of Noah, people lived 800 years, 900 years. So if they're just trying to go for 150, weak.
Step up your game. Oh, that's great. All right, let's sneak in. David's got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but we also want to hear what you want to talk about as well. Mike in Big Timber, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
I'm sorry. I just had to laugh about that 150 versus 900 years. I'm sorry. Yep. Good morning, gentlemen, from smoke-filled Big Timber. I have a question. Is unemployment benefits taxed? Because these people, they just had that news report
close to 250,000 people a week are filing for new unemployment benefits, and then the continuous claims went up. If you look at the year, that's a weekly report. That's close to 12 million people a year new going on unemployment. So are those benefits taxed by any, does anybody know that? I've never received unemployment, so I don't know.
Let's see. So, yeah, maybe we have a tax professional listen to the show, or I could reach out to one. David, I don't know if you know the answer offhand here, but Grok, I just asked a quick question to Grok, the AI platform. Grok says, yes, unemployment benefits are taxed in the United States. They are considered taxable income by the IRS and must be reported on your federal income tax return. And then they say to check with your state's tax authority for local rules. David, any thoughts, insight on that?
Well, that it's interesting, that caller and that report about the economy. It kind of matches what I was saying earlier with Karl Rove mentioning in the Wall Street Journal this morning that the Republicans need to turn the economy needs to turn around, and people's perception of it needs to turn around before the midterms for the Republicans to have a chance of keeping the House and the Senate. But you're seeing anecdotal stories out there as well in terms of recent college grads apparently are having a very difficult time finding jobs. And then there was a big Wall Street report about how basically Americans are not leaving their jobs and finding new jobs like they have in the past. Historically in the United States, actually one of the best ways to get a big raise is to switch your job or switch your employer, because typically when you leave one job and go to another, you'll get a big raise. People aren't doing that anymore, and it's apparently because people are very worried that if they leave their job, they're not going to be able to find as good of a job. Now, I think Trump's policies are basically saving us from even worse economic disaster. I think what we're living with now is the combined result of decades and decades and decades of leftist policies at the federal level. And frankly, a lot at the state level as well. And that's what you're really seeing here.
And, well, and just the deindustrialization of America. And that's why Trump is trying to reindustrialize America right now as well. Hey, David, what do you got? What do you got for the, well, actually, hold that thought. We're going to get to the Fox News update here in about 30 seconds. But I'm wondering what David's got for the woke update of the week. I don't know if David saw this one or not. I just shared this on X from the dailywire.com. A black comedian wears whiteface and mocks NASCAR fans in a viral comedy skit. And you know what's great about it? The white NASCAR fans think it's hilarious. They're not clutching their pearls, demanding the black comedian get canceled for wearing whiteface. They thought it was hilarious. News out of Florida. We got to get to that story here at some point, because I really want to hear David Noble's take on that one as well here this morning. But yeah, David, I don't know if you saw this black comedian. I don't know if you pronounce his name Drusky. I watched a little bit of the video. It's hilarious. He paints not only his face but his body to look like a big old southern white dude at a NASCAR race. He's got overalls on and no t-shirt. And he did the white face so well that he even made it look like he had sunburn lines on his arms. It was just hilarious. But, you know, hey, nobody's trying to get him canceled for wearing white face.
You know what that reminds me of, Aaron, is there was a YouTube video put up by PragerU a while ago. It was like a man on the street video, and it was this guy, and he was dressed in totally stereotypical Mexican garb. I mean, he had on the poncho, he had a mustache taped on, he had on the sombrero hat, and he was walking around some campus and going up to these, you know, white students and asking, oh, are you offended by this? And they all, oh, this is so offensive, you can't wear that, you can't, that's cultural appropriation, oh, you're mocking. Well, and then what was interesting, then he went to the Latino part of town and started asking the Hispanics and the Latinos, hey, are you offended by this? Not a single one said they're offended. They all started laughing. They're like, oh, man, you look great. This is fantastic. And it's classic.
That reminds me of something. This is another good woke update. Ted Nugent, you know, the rocker Ted Nugent, he just shared something on Facebook that I had to share at facebook.com/Flint Report. I'll talk about that one in a second. But, David, yeah, about a minute and a half to go before the next break. What's your woke update of the week this week?
Okay, this is hilarious. This a Democrat lawmaker in Congress actually referred to illegal aliens as her constituents. Red State has an article up. They actually go into the definition of what is a constituent, what's a constituency. It's actually the people politicians have been elected to represent, or the group of people whose interests you were elected to represent. So she said that illegal aliens are her constituents, and then a bunch of people are attacked. By the way, this lady's name is Yasemin Ansari, Arizona Democrat Representative Yasemin Ansari. So then everybody attacked her and said, I can't believe you're saying this. You just said the quiet part out loud. You just admitted that Democrats care more about illegal aliens than they do American citizens. And then she doubled down and she said constituents include citizens, green card holders, DACA recipients, asylum seekers, refugees, and yes, people in ICE detention in Arizona. So there it is, folks. The Democrats are now openly saying they're in Congress representing the interests of criminal illegal aliens.
Well, it's been pretty obvious by their voting records. Now, David, the way you pronounced her name was offensive. You were supposed to use more cultural intonation when you pronounce her name. You said Yasemin. You have to use a little more inflection. Yasemin. You know, you got to, just like Obama would say, Iran or Pakistan. You know, you got to go, Yasemin, when you pronounce the name there. You got to be a little more woke next time there.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Great to have David Noble in the house with us here every Thursday. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. David, this could probably be a bit of a woke update as well here. Anything involving Disney anymore is a woke update. But we just heard the Fox News update a few minutes ago. And, yeah, Florida is effectively ending all vaccine mandates. They're just allowing people to make that choice for themselves and their families. Tell us about the Walt Disney angle to the Florida vaccine mandates going away story.
Okay, well, as our listeners know, I do like to go to HuffingtonPost.com to look for woke updates, because the Huffington Post is a far, far left radical publication. They've got lots of stuff. So I'm sitting here, and I saw the story that you mentioned in that was brought up during the news break. I've got to read this quote because the DeSantis administration in Florida completely ended all vaccine mandates, not just COVID vaccine mandates, all vaccine mandates, including vaccine mandates for school-age children. And this is what the DeSantis administration said, quote, "Who am I as a government or anyone else or as a man standing here now to tell you what you should put in your body? Who am I to tell you what your child should put in their body? I don't have that right." And that is just such a breath of fresh air to hear an actual government official say they don't have the right to boss us around and force us to do things. We need more of that. You know, Democrats always get mad when Republicans put people in charge of government agencies and that person believes that that particular agency should basically be dismantled and removed. And that's the exact type of people you need in those agencies, because otherwise, you end up getting abuses and authoritarianism. So that was the first thing. Great, great news out of Florida. I always say, if you want to be a good governor in the United States, it's very, very easy. Just do whatever DeSantis did. Just whatever DeSantis did yesterday, just do that today and you're going to be a good governor. So then I go to the Huffington Post and they've got a story. Infectious disease expert sounds alarm on Disney vacations amid Florida vaccine move. And check this out, Aaron. This is crazy. They're saying that because there's no more vaccine mandates in Florida, the Sunshine State is going to become a hotbed of transmission.
Yeah, man, which is so crazy. So I've told this story before on the radio, I think, David. But, you know, a few years ago, you know, being in the military, I'm, of course, retired now. But, you know, you have to get a whole bunch of shots, right? It's just that's just how it goes, right? Especially if you're getting deployed somewhere. No joke. I had to get some new shot. And it's like, all right, whatever, here we go again. And no joke, the person who administered the shot told me, yeah, we call this the Disneyland shot. Because basically the point they were making was that, well, because of all these people coming into the country, all of a sudden we're starting to see a lot of these diseases and illnesses that we had, that our country had effectively eradicated and not seen in a really long time. So as a result, we're making everybody get this shot here again. And it's just like, so they're claiming that, well, if we do away with vaccine mandates, oh, Disney World's going to have a whole host of troubles here with diseases and illnesses. Disney has already had a whole host of troubles with diseases and illnesses because of all of the people that were allowed to enter this country with diseases and illnesses, not because of a bunch of Americans weren't getting their shots, you freaking wackos.
Amen. And frankly, with how cooperative the Florida administration has been with the Trump administration, it's probably, you know, safer there than it is anywhere else now.
Well, and on a related note, I love the fact that RFK Jr. basically fired the head of the CDC, and then all of these CDC staffers quit, including some freaking evil weirdo wacko who was in a senior position. I mean, you see some of the photographs of this guy, and you know, the animal horns he wears for costumes with his partner. It's like straight up evil looking stuff. And it's like, you know, the people who pushed these evil lockdowns and these evil mandates that harmed this country, that harmed kids in particular, you know what? Get the hell out of there. Yeah, you know, and in fact, we're not even going to let you pack up your boxes. We're going to throw your Adam Schiff out the windows, and you can pick it up off the street. Get the heck out of here. And all these CDC staffers who signed this petition calling for RFK to be fired, turn in your resignations right now, because you just violated the Hatch Act, if you ask me.
Hey, man, you know what I find interesting about this story from Huffington Post? And they bring on the infectious disease expert, and they say, oh my gosh, Florida is going to become a hotbed of transmission of all these diseases if you get rid of that. What's interesting about that, Aaron, is built within that statement is the assumption that unless the government forces those vaccines on people, that nobody's going to take them voluntarily. So what does that tell you about these Democrats and this infectious disease guy's belief in their ability to convince Americans to take these vaccines just through logic and reasoning and explanation? They don't have any faith. They know that they, I mean, so that just is like, you exposed yourself. You basically just admitted that without, and here's the reality is, and this was with COVID too. You should never, ever need a lockdown. You should never need a mandate, because if a disease like COVID or any of these others is so severe that you actually have a good chance of dying if you get it, people are going to stay inside on their own. They don't need the government to tell them this. But when the disease has a 0.01%, you know, death rate, then, you know, people are going to want to go outside. So the fact is these bureaucrats, they force things when they can't convince us. And that's the opposite. And then, yeah, the CDC stuff is hilarious because the media is putting out all these stories. CDC bureaucrats in turmoil. CDC bureaucrats walk out. CDC bureaucrats mad. And I'm supposed to be upset about that? Do they not know what the CDC has been doing?
Get the heck out of here. You guys shamed yourselves. These past few years, you are an embarrassment, and they need to rebuild trust with the CDC and the American people, the people of the whole world, frankly, on that front. Hey, let's sneak in another caller here. Chris in Billings, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call. Oh, wait, there we go. Go ahead, Chris. Start over again, Chris. Hey. I had the wrong button pushed. Sorry about that.
No problem. That's all right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
I'm just kidding. So I'm going to try to keep the 1 point vaccines. Now, people are hearing partial information. Please look into the juvenile vaccines. What they don't mention is measles, whooping cough. There's a lot of stuff and information about those vaccines that are going to be affected. Do your own homework. People are going to react to the initial broadcast of, oh, no more vaccines, that's bad. They need to look into it, because it's for juveniles going back to school, and there's a lot of vaccines that they should have, quote-unquote, and may not need. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Well, I think that's the concern a lot of people have right now is why is this list so long? Right, David? David, I'm sure you've heard that. And Chris, thanks for the call. It's just this list of everything we're injecting into our bodies has just gotten so long that it has a lot of people, you know, really interested in hearing the other side of this debate and really interested in hearing what RFK Jr. is bringing to the table right now. David, you can weigh in on that, but I know there's so many topics to cover here in the short amount of time that we've got you this morning. This is kind of a woke update, but it's also a legal update on a fake race hate hoax out of Montana State University. I quickly saw a headline earlier this morning, but I know you've been tracking this story out of MSU.
Yeah, and it's the story about Dylan Dean, who you've had on the show before, and they just he just filed a lawsuit here in federal court. Matthew Monfort is his attorney. They've raised a bunch of claims. What I found interesting about this whole story, and I read through the Daily Montanan piece. That's the only where this is written about right now. You got to get a Montana Talks article up so people can get this content at a decent website and with some decent analysis. But what I find interesting about this is, so these were Chinese Americans or, you know, ethnically Chinese people that were basic. They were running for the MSU Senate. They were running for student body Senate. And that's why. And so then they started perpetrating this hoax to make themselves look like they were being attacked and discriminated against based on their race or their sexual preferences. What I find interesting about that is that tells me that there's something in the minds of these young leftist Democrats where they think that other people will be more likely to vote for them if they are a victim of a hate crime. What kind of a twisted mindset is that?
This is a great point you make here, that they wanted to win the victimhood Olympics, and they thought if they could be, you know, gold medalists in the victimhood Olympics by perpetrating this fake race hate hoax, that would help them win elections to student government. What a great point. But yeah, a new federal lawsuit is going after the head of the guy who perpetrated the fake race hate hoax. Sorry, we'll get to the story next.
There's beauty in going places, but there's something remarkable in going further. Introducing Utmost Rewards, where your loyalty opens more doors. Travel the globe with the number one airline rewards program. Experience more than 1,000 global destinations with over 30 airline partners. And keep going further. Learn more at utmostrewards.com.
Fox News commentary.
Ilhan Omar went from student loan debt to multimillionaire status fast. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author, and I'm searching for heroes. Every Monday, I'll speak with a few silent but noteworthy heroes, everyday people who illuminate stories of compassion and are true embodiments of heroism. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts, and please leave a rating and a review.
Despite routinely railing against the rich, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar seems to be quite well off herself. In fact, in her latest 2024 financial disclosure, her net worth shot up to between $6 and $30 million. Yeah, that's a 3,500% spike. So what changed? Two words. Her husband. Apparently, her husband Tim Minette's businesses are suddenly worth millions. His venture capital firm miraculously increased from under $1,000 to $25 million, and his winery from $15,000 to $5 million. And get this, they reported no income, just big valuations. All this just months after Omar said she wasn't a millionaire and was juggling student loans just like the rest of us. She also labeled such reporting as a right-wing hit job. Ilhan Omar, from broke to baller in a year. Convenient? You decide. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some hazy sunshine and some areas of smoke through the day today. High temperature readings, meanwhile, stay up around 77 from Bozeman to Billings. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies as temperatures fall off to about 43 to 45. Wednesday, breezy out of the north into tonight for Billings. East Wednesday, breezy in the Bozeman area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Okay, these Missoula man headlines, they're a lot like the Florida man headlines. Here's the latest one at MontanaTalks.com. Man steals tips and shows genitals to Missoula employee. You heard it right. This is a story out of Missoula. Would you be surprised if this wasn't the first time? Would you be surprised if I told you this guy is also at the Poverello Homeless Center? I know you're not surprised. Anyway, we've got that.
From Ace, it's a place you want to be, and it's free. So, where to?
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, that was a bit of a tongue twister there as I was quickly trying to toss to the break there. The fake race hate hoax at MSU. Just to recap, yeah, it was a guy named Wu. He was the head of the Chinese Student Association. He was the one sending the fake messages, targeting the LGBTQ group that he was publicly affiliated with. He was the one sending the anti-Asian hate messages, all to orchestrate a fake hate hoax on the MSU campus to generate sympathy for the left-wing causes that he was a part of and that he was promoting. So, yeah, very glad to hear this news that that Matthew Monforton is the attorney representing Dylan Dean, the conservative student at MSU who was basically falsely aligned as potentially part of this whole deal. They tried to frame conservative students in the process. So, yeah, David, was great to hear your thoughts on that story. I know we're getting short on time. I got to hear your take on the Montana GOP court battle that's going on right now, where basically some of the moderate Republicans who voted with the Democrat leadership in the legislature are now suing the Montana GOP. What's your take on the case, on the lawsuit, et cetera?
Well, I'll actually make a prediction here, Aaron. We'll see how this plays out. And I made the same prediction. I was at the convention as the state committee man for the Yellowstone County Republican Party. And my, you know, I had looked at the bylaws, and the bylaws of the state party are pretty clear. You know, if you're in the Montana legislature as a Republican, you're a delegate to the convention, and you have the right to vote at the convention. And the bylaws are pretty clear. Now, there's some arguments around that, but you know, my concern was always, okay, if you vote to not allow the Nasty Nine to participate in that election, all that does is generate a legal claim for them to sue us on, and that's exactly what they did. But here's the bigger point. And I said this at the time, and I'm going to say it now. They're going to lose that lawsuit. And the reason they're going to lose that lawsuit is because not a single vote at the 2025 Montana GOP convention came within 9 votes. And I'm assuming that the standard the courts are going to apply here is similar to the standard courts apply when a politician or a candidate contests an election, which is the court is only going to intervene and order a new election or do something like that if the number of votes is sufficient to change the outcome. Because if it's not enough to change the outcome, then what are you really doing by, you know, redoing it? So they want the convention to be done over again, but none of the votes were within 9 votes. So it's going to be the exact same result again. It's just a waste of time. So I think they are going to lose that lawsuit.
Interesting. So legal arguments aside, the court may just say, hey, this is kind of moot. It's kind of because it's, you know, nothing's going to change anyway. Although, did I see this is before a judge in Helena? So who knows? Maybe the Helena judge might want to just stick it to the GOP and come up with a way to try to rule against them. Who knows? But
although that could backfire, Aaron, because I think a lot of Montanans are very, very happy to see the Montana GOP censoring the Nasty Nine and disenfranchising the Nasty Nine and doing anything they can. Of course, it was Senator Barry Escher, one of my favorite senators, who actually made the motion at the convention to remove them from the convention.
Yeah, Barry Usher's great. He's been just one of the champions in the state legislature. That is for sure. All right, David Noble, always great to have you on the show. You can follow him at LectureFan, LCTR fan on X and other platforms, streaming platforms as well. David, about 15, 20 seconds to go. What else do you want to tell folks?
The best news I saw was that the Montana PSC just denied the petition for them to consider climate change in all of their decisions. That's a new article out a couple days ago. So congrats to the PSC. They're not going to be considering global warming.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that one as well. It's just like, okay, yeah, common sense move.
Especially because that would increase rates. That would increase our utility rates, which is the exact opposite.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
Come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals help fuel my love for acting. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
WU.